Our scripture this morning is from 1 John 3, 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this that we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Love is something that we talk about all the time in church. How to love, who to love, what to love, why we love. So it's no surprise that John, who here is writing a letter to early Christians about what it means to be a Christian in the real world, what it actually looks like to live out your faith every day, it's no surprise that he spends a great part of this letter dealing with love. In the scripture that we read this morning, John writes that we're to not to love in word or speech only, but in action and truth. So this morning, we're going to talk about how, not just about how we love in action and truth, but also why we're being called to love others in that way. With the wedding coming up very soon, it's not just Ben and I and, of course, Pastor Dave who are very excited about it and thinking a lot about it. One of my friends told me this past week that she's obviously been thinking about it so much that she had a dream about the wedding. It's kind of a weird dream. In the dream, in order to get to the church to get married, we had to traverse a large system of rivers and streams to get there. Because I was already wearing my wedding dress, my friend and another one of my friends realized they were going to have to carry me across all these rivers and streams so my dress didn't get wet. Now, I know that's kind of a crazy dream. But I also told my friend that not only is she a great friend in real life, she's also clearly an exceptional friend in dreams as well. She loves not in just word or speech, but in truth and action, even in her dreams. Now, of course, you might say that loving in action and in truth is actually easier in your dreams and while you're asleep than in real life. Because, as you know, it's what we do in real life when we're awake that actually matters. How we love people right now in the real world. And in some ways, that's what the writer of 1 John is getting at in his letter. Because like all letters in the New Testament, this one is written to a specific community at a specific time, and this community is dealing with a very specific problem. There's a group in the community that's saying that Jesus was never really human. When Jesus was on earth, he was fully God, yes, but he was not a real human. He was kind of like a ghost or a spirit. And you might wonder, well, why does that really even matter? Well, what they were doing is that they were taking that belief and they were saying, well, if Jesus was never really human, then the actual physical world doesn't really matter. And when you start saying that, you can take it one step farther and you can say, well, what you do now, what you do in the here and now, you can just do whatever you want. You can live life however you want. You can treat people however you want. None of that matters. Just get your spiritual self right and you're all good. Now, the writer of 1 John, he does something interesting in this letter. Instead of just talking about why that belief is wrong, why it's silly to believe that what we do in the here and now doesn't matter, he gives people a picture of what a real Christian life in the real physical world looks like. He's trying to show them that it's better to live with your life changed now by Christ than to live as though that doesn't matter now. He's showing these early Christians why a faith in the real world matters, because it's a better faith than one where the world doesn't matter. So in this section, the writer of 1 John is doing that by talking about love. When the real world and when real life matters, we get to experience and participate in real acts of love. Love isn't just some spiritual concept that we talk about in a dream world. It's really and concretely lived out. Now, John gives us a very clear reason why loving and action and truth is a vital part of our faith. As in the verse we read, he tells us essentially, this is what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. John pulls out all the stops when defining love. This isn't just some happy little story about love. No, John calls to mind the greatest love of them all. The love that Christ has for all humanity. Love so great that Christ gave up his life. So then why do we love in action and in truth? This is important. This is like what to get this morning. We love in action and truth, not because it's a nice thing to do or because a pastor tells us to or because we come to church and that's what church people do. We love in action and truth because we are loved in action and truth by Christ. Our call to love, our acts of care and service for others, they don't come from ourselves. They grow out of the love that Christ has for us. Now, this is both really good news and really challenging news. I'll give you the really good news first. The really good news is that we have been loved in action and truth by Christ. Jesus actually laid down his own life so that we might have life, so that we might be forgiven of all the non-loving things that we do all the time. Now remember, John's writing this letter to make sure these early Christians know and believe that the real world matters, that the physical here and now is important. And he wants them, and in turn us today, to know and believe that a real Jesus came and lived in a real world and loved us with a real love. And this is great news because we need that kind of real life love in our lives if we're going to show it to others. Yet there's also a challenge in this message, because if the example of loving and action and truth is Jesus sacrificing his life, well, then we have a lot to live up to. Because that also means that if we're going to love in action and truth, we must be willing to lay down our lives for others, which John tells us we are being called to do. Now, before you get scared and think, well, there's no way I can do that, so I'm just not going to listen for the rest of the morning, just listen to this almost humorous way that John teaches his readers about sacrifice. Because after we get this big example of Jesus sacrificing his life on the cross for us, John writes this: we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? It's almost like John is saying, hey kids, before you get all bent out of shape thinking about really sacrificing your life for love, remember last week when you saw that man in need of shoes and you didn't even manage to help him out? Why don't you just start there? Now, I'm not sure if those words are supposed to be funny, like how do you compare giving shoes and giving up your life, or relieving like, well, maybe this won't be as hard as we think, or just sad like, wow, we can't really handle that much. But whatever they are, I do know they're where we should start. Because you aren't going to give up your life if you can't give up your money or your time or your comfort or your shoes. Because at its core, laying down your life really means that we put aside our own needs and interests and wants in order to love others. And there are many ways that we can do this. We do it, yes, when we see people lacking material possessions and we give them what they need. That's loving in action and in truth. We also lay down our lives when we set aside our plans and our schedules to be with somebody else, Those times when you had something that you wanted to do or even needed to do, but a friend called and they needed you and you went to be with them instead. That's loving in action and in truth. We lay down our lives when we submit ourselves to what might be uncomfortable situations with unpleasant people. That's loving in action and in truth. We lay down our lives anytime we don't put ourselves first, when we're willing to lose something even if we don't gain something tangible. That's loving in action and in truth. And we do this all not because we're nice people or because we want to look good or because somebody told us to. We do this because this is how we've been loved by Christ. As people who have been really loved in action and in truth, we too are called to love others in action and in truth, right here and now, in the real world, not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday afternoon as well. So what does that look like when it happens in the real world? Well, my extended family got a glimpse of it this past week. Recently, my aunt passed away, and her funeral was this past Monday. My uncle has long served in local government down where my family is from. He was a city councilman for many years, and he's been a county commissioner now for a long time. However, due to COVID restrictions, the funeral itself was kept pretty small to just family and a few close friends. Yet, when we went to start the funeral procession to go to the cemetery, what seemed like the entire sheriff's department showed up to lead the procession. We started down the main street, and we passed a small county office where people go to pay their taxes and stuff. There were two women standing outside on the sidewalk when we drove by. I thought, that's really nice. Those women, they probably know my uncle, and they wanted to support him. A couple blocks later, we drove by the county courthouse, and we were taken aback when what looked to be every single employee that worked at the courthouse was outlining the street as we drove by. Finally, we drove by the county office building where my uncle works, and again, it seemed like every single employee was outside. Now, really, this wasn't a big deal for those employees. They got up from their desk for maybe 10 minutes and went to stood outside. And yet, it was a simple and profound act of love that I know my uncles and my cousins will always remember. A show of love and support by people who couldn't be there to love and support in the way they probably wanted to. And so they came up with this other way. That's the kind of love our scripture is talking about. Love not just in word and speech, but in action and in truth. Now there's one more reason that John gives us in our scripture this morning as to why we should be people who love in action and truth. Like much of John's letter, it's a little bit confusing on the onset, so I'm going to read it to you in the Message paraphrase of the scripture. It starts in verse 18. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice love. This is the only way we'll know we're really, truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there's something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we've asked for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command. To believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other, in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. In other words, when we love in action and truth, it helps us to be confident of our own salvation. It helps us to know that Jesus loves us in truth and action. Loving in action and truth is how we know we're living real faith in the real world. And then in turn, when you have those times during the week when you think, do I really have faith? Do I really believe? Does Jesus really love me? You can answer yes, because you're laying down your lives for others. Remember, John is writing to people who, not unlike us, face a lot of different pressure and voices trying to tell them how they should live. And so they were no doubt confused and doubting and wondering if this faith thing was really the way to go, especially if it meant they were going to have to change their behavior with no guarantee of getting anything in return. So what John is telling them is, of course you know your life has been changed by Jesus for the better when you love others in action and in truth, because this kind of love is made possible by the love that Christ has for you. So be confident. Know that you are loved, and then love others too, so they will know that they have been loved by Christ. We talk a lot about love at church, but it's not just because we're trying to be nice people or do nice things or just be really churchy. It's because we're people who have been deeply loved by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. So then as people have been loved by Jesus, we can have assurance that of our real faith when we lay down our lives for others and love them in action and in truth. So this week, love somebody not just with your words, but with your actions. Be willing to lay down your life by laying down your possessions, your money, your time, your schedule, your preferences, yourself, to love somebody else. Because we're really loved in a real world, in our real lives, by Christ. So because of that love, let us go and really love others in a real world, in our real lives. Let's pray. Holy God, we are thankful that we are unconditionally loved by Christ, that Jesus willingly gave up his life for us. Lord, help us to know and trust that kind of love that's at work in our lives, so that we might love others, not just with our words, but in our actions as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.